Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have sang that song many a times over the years. Anybody know what song that was she just played? I Love You, Lord. That's such a great song. Talk about getting right to the point. So why don't I do that this morning? I got a phone call one day from my brother, and he and I talk all the time. And so he calls me and he says, hey, I want to let you know, I was at a little thrift store. He and his wife like to go and shop a little bit once in a while at some thrift stores. And he said, I found this thing for you, and I want to, and I bought it, and I'm going to send it to you. And I'm like, ooh, well, what would this be? So he's like, well, I'm not telling you. He said, but I tell you, so I got it. I went to the checkout line, and I go to the clerk, at the cashier, right? So I get there, and I say, hey, I said, so what do you think of this? And the clerk was like, well, I think that's kind of cool. And so, you know, that strokes his ego a little bit. He's like, well, all right. And then there's a couple of people, there's a guy that's two people back. And he heard that question. And of course, you know, he asks cashier, but he kind of opens it up, you know. And then the guy that's two people back is like, well, I'm not sure what I think of that. And so like, ugh. So my brother's like, man, I'm going to get it anyway. I just think it's funny. And I'm gonna send it to him. He's like, so I put it in the mail. It's coming. When you get it, let me know. Let me know you got it. And I'm curious to see what you think. You want to see what he got me? Yeah. Oh, it's a good story then so far because you're with me. So he got me this. Nice. If you can't... If you can't read in the back, it says, God is dope. And so I had never heard of this before, and I've heard of dope before, but it's not this thing. Anyways, and so I pull this out, right? And so I get it, and I look at it, and I go, huh. Like, I get it, I think, and it's kind of funny, but I don't know, should I ever wear this? Like, I'm not really sure, right? Like, I don't know. Anyways, and so I was like, as any... you know, good researching person would do, there must be something to this. So I looked it up, and I found out it's a clothing line out of Atlanta, faith-based, who tries to use fashion and cutting-edge ways to help get younger generations to talk about God and to just start God conversations, right? And so I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of neat. That's kind of, you know, he's like, and so I was like, yeah, I got it. I was like, it took me a moment, so I tell him kind of what I was telling you, right? And he was like, I know. He said, that's why I thought, like, this is too funny. So I got to send this to you. He's like, I don't care if you never wear it, if you cut grass in it, or you throw it in the trash. It only cost me like a couple bucks. And I was like, this is worth it. I'm sending it to Andy. And so I have that. All right. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that story. I like telling that story. I find it kind of funny. And yeah, whatever the story, people tend to like true stories. You know, you ever notice that? It's like kind of grabs you, gets a hold of you. You like telling true stories, especially fish stories. I got anybody like telling some fish stories? Hunting stories. Oh, yeah. And every time you tell it, the fish gets a little longer. It weighs a little more. The antlers get a little wider and a little. It was 7, but now it's 8. Then it becomes 9 point. Just kidding. I don't know. When you become a new you in Christ, you have a story to tell. In fact, to be exact, you have two stories to tell. One's the Jesus story, and one is your testimony story of coming to faith in Christ. And you probably have other stories you could tell too, but you at least have two. And we may change how we tell our personal story of coming to faith in Christ based on who we're talking to, just whatever's going to work with them. But the one thing we can't change is the Jesus story. We have to tell that story as it is told. We can't change the details of it based on the audience that we're with. Can I give you another story? So I'm good. So the folks here in person were not excited about another story, but if you're online and would like one, let me tell you one. So in my first church I was at, I had a lady who had was coming to our Sunday services. And I talked to her, and she was connected with a guy that was already in her church. And so anyways, she practiced a cult faith, but believed that the teachings of Jesus from the Bible and the life that Jesus lived as a prophet, not as the Savior, the divine Son of God, right? So, it's thundering here. She believed that the teachings that a Christian preacher would teach about Jesus from the Bible was very helpful to live a good life and a wholesome life, and it would be a benefit to you, and you would be a benefit to the world. And so whatever she could learn, she wanted to learn. So she would come. Well, I'm a young pastor. If you know me, I don't like conflict. I have historically tried to avoid it, run from it, pretend it doesn't exist, all that kind of stuff. And so I still work through that. But I remember as a young pastor and knowing that about myself, I would be preaching the message, right? And it was a small room, right? And so, and I like to kind of work the room. And this person would tend to sit over to my right. And I knew that as I was preaching that Jesus was the only way to salvation and eternal life. He's the way, the truth, and the life, right? And I would preach the gospel story that as I got across the room, I was going to hit one person who did not agree and who would emotionally disconnect and either look away or give me a look like, I don't agree with you, but I'm still listening, okay? That was challenging because I knew if I tell the story, I'm going to have somebody who's going to already, right from the beginning, be at odds with me. So do I, for the sake of trying to get this person to realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, I didn't do it, but I can remember wondering, do I have to tell the whole thing? Can I just little by little to try to bring that person along? I was like, no, I can't change the story. The story is the story. The Apostle Paul, let's go to Scripture, enough of my stories, let's go to the story of the Bible. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul, so if you have a Bible you want to open there, please do so. Today, if you want to follow along, I will read the passage, so you can listen if you want, but if you have your Bible and you want to listen, feel free to do that and with your phone, or if you have the book. And I would encourage you, if you have a book, right, a Bible book, a paperback, hardback, whatever, as long as maybe it's not one of those real big ones. You ever get one of those, like if you got married and you had like the big, it's like that thick, and it's like, do you remember that? It's like that wide, and it's like that. We have one at our house, and it's like, you don't have to walk in church with that, unless you want to, but you might want to bring, I would encourage you to use a book if you can, and to learn where to turn, and to where the books are at, and to read from those pages if you can. It's always, I'm sorry, a little bit old school even at 46. I know I don't look it, but it is what it is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is writing to Christian believers who are relatively new to the faith. And he had already been there and he had told the story. He had told the Jesus story. And then, of course, as he always does, right, he goes and then he goes elsewhere. And then he finds out, hey, some people are coming in and they're doing X, or they're teaching Y, or whatever. And he finds out that people were coming in and they were teaching that the Jesus story that he had preached to them was, they were changing the story. And some of them were saying that Jesus was not raised from the dead, period. And then others were saying that, well, he was spiritually raised from the dead, and that what people saw was not a physical body, it was just like a spiritual, like ghost kind of thing, right? Like a spiritual being in their presence. And that was not what Paul had preached to them. Paul had preached the physical body resurrection of Jesus the Christ. And so people were coming in changing. And so he finds out about it because people are telling. And so he writes this back. And it's in 1 Corinthians 15 where you find his response to that. And that's what I want to read with you today. I'm going to read it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to start at verse 1. So let's start there. I'm going to read through verse 8, and then I'm going to hit verse 11. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And here it is. That Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. Not talking physically, he's talking about one who spiritually who did not was not born in as to come in as one who was on the board with like the other apostles were, that he was on the outside that the Lord sort of brought in to be on this Jesus team, if you will. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now check this out. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. So in other words, whether it was the apostles who had preached that, or it was me who had preached it, he says, you believe the story that I told to you, and it's on that story that you are saved. Not a variation of that story, but it's on that story. All right. If you read chapter 15, you see Paul's theology of the resurrection. Now, that's a fancy kind of way of saying that it's Paul explaining the bodily resurrection of Jesus being essential to salvation. And so much so that Paul argued that if he wasn't physically resurrected after his death on the cross, well, he said there's no eternal salvation to be had. The cross without the resurrection is not eternal salvation. Now, let me be honest with you. The first time that I'm looking through this and breaking this down, I'm going, okay, let me reread this. Because don't we always say the cross is enough? The cross is enough. Yeah, it is enough. But it's not just about the death on the cross. It's about overcoming the cross. Then I read 1 Corinthians 15:17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And I thought, well, God, I don't remember the last time I ever read that verse. Oh, I have read it, but that it stuck out to me. Salvation is both forgiveness and rebirth into God's kingdom. It truly is a gift of God by his grace. We are forgiven and set free from the grip of sin and death over our lives because Jesus was victorious over them when he was raised from the dead physically. So we have hope for the resurrection from the dead. Because Jesus experienced the resurrection from the dead. And when you put your faith in that Jesus story, the death and the resurrection story, knowing that he did that for you, you become a new you. And your role is to tell that story so that God will reach others through that story, like he reached you through that story. Can I give you Romans 10:14? I have it on the screen here. I wanted to share this because I think a lot of us have heard this, and it's so fitting for what we're talking about. It's against Paul's writing to the Christians in Rome, not just to the pastors in Rome. Okay, so here it is. Let's go up to verse 10, if you were the top one there for the screen. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? Now walk through his logic here, because this is making a logical argument. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Okay. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I like that Paul says, how beautiful. He steals that, I think, from Isaiah. But how beautiful. People like don't tend to not like feet. So don't get hung up on the word feet in this, okay? How beautiful is every person who goes to share the Jesus story with somebody else because they have been sent to go tell a story that unless people know the story, they don't know what to believe because the story is part of history in humanity to know that God came to earth and that Jesus, who was God in the flesh, grew and he ministered and he taught and revealed the presence of God, made God's presence manifest in the world. And he goes to the cross and he physically dies at the cross. And then they bury him and he's in the tomb for how many days? 3 days. And on that third day, he's what? Raised from the dead. And then people what? People see him. Right. And they talk to him and he eats and he relaxes and he kind of hangs out. And then later the disciples are out fishing and he's like, come in. And they eat. And he chills with them for a while. People don't know the story of what God has done to bring salvation without the story being told. Somebody told you the story, didn't they? It might have been in Sunday school or in your home as growing up, but somebody had to tell you that story. It might have been a pastor. It might have been a youth pastor, Sunday school teacher, a grandparent, your mom or dad, a friend, an aunt, an uncle. But somebody told you that story. Otherwise, you wouldn't know it. Or you read it in the Bible. And you were told that story by this word. But one way or another, you were told. How beautiful is every person who shares Jesus' story with people. And can I tell you that you don't have to share the story from chapter 1, verse 1? You can. I mean, you can go to John 1, 1 if you want and just start sharing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? You can, that's great. John's wonderful story of creation. This is great. But can I offer to us today that there are at least four. One, two, three. They say you learned everything you need in kindergarten, but I think I missed the day of counting four. So four parts to the story, real simple, that I would share and encourage to at least have these four pieces. And we're going to put them on the screen here. And actually, we're going to put them all at one time. Just throw them up here, okay? All right. God loves you. Please don't start the salvation story with your sinner going to hell unless you change. That may be true. But the reason you have hope is because God loves you even though you're a sinner. So let's start with the God is love part first, and he's always loved you. So let's start there. God loves you. We all are sinners who are not perfect. And we need God's forgiveness for the sin in our life. And God has offered that forgiveness through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, at the cross. But he didn't stay on the cross. 3 days later, he was raised to new life. He declared victory over sin and death. And through him, we have new life and we have victory. We have hope for a future with God that's glorious. That's the essence of the gospel. I listened to over my 20 years or so of, you know, being involved and engaged in ministry, a little over 20 years. And I've listened to many people tell the gospel story. And you know what I found? Most everybody tells it a little bit differently, but they all tell the same story. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say it exactly the same way, but I've heard the exact same story told. And so it has taught me that the method is not as important as the message. Some do it from memory. Some do use tracts to help them, right? Some, all these props I have today. I'm so prepared. Yeah, right. Some people will use the Bible. One of the things that I have done before, I actually did this with our Fusion students one day. I have at the top, I don't have it on this page, I just opened that page. Anyway, but at the top, one of the things that I have done before is at the top of the page, don't trust a pastor's Bible, things just fall out. At the top, right upside down, the next verse that I want to go to tell the story through the scripture, so that when I take the Bible and I put it in front of you that you could read it, I can read easily, not upside down. I can read what the next verse is that I would ask you to turn to read the Jesus story yourself from the Bible. And they go to the next one, and the next one already has the next scripture. So, like, would you turn to this verse and read that? And can walk right through that. I've seen that done before. I've done that before. I've been sitting at a restaurant before, and somebody just said, hey, give me your napkin. And they drew the picture of Jesus coming and dying and being raised again because God loves us and what Jesus did for them through his life, death, and resurrection. They just drew it on a napkin. And I'm like, well done. Well done. And there was no eggs or bacon on that either. You picked, this was well done, my friend. What matters is that you tell the basics of the story. You don't change the story. You don't leave something out of the story because you might think that, you know what? They're going to think I'm crazy when I talk about a dead man raised to life. So what? It's not your story, it's Jesus' story. It's not you being raised to life, it's Jesus was raised to life. It's not your miracle, it's Jesus' miracle. Jesus is the one that did that. You're just telling his story. And the beauty of it is when you tell the Jesus story, the Holy Spirit speaks into the minds and the hearts of people who are listening and invites them to believe or to recommit their life, to go deeper with him if they've steered off of that story. Like, you just share the story. God is so good. Like, he can talk to Chuck. Chuck knows the story. He's been following Jesus for a long time. But let's say that he wasn't, and I shared this with him. I guarantee that when he hears me tell that story, that in the moments there or shortly thereafter, that the Holy Spirit is going to speak into Chuck's heart and mind and impress upon him an invitation to believe what he was just told, to believe what Jesus did, not just that he did it, even it is history, but that moment of history was for Chuck. And will he accept that for him? And if he will, that his sins will be forgiven, that God will bring him peace that he's never known in his life, and he'll have hope for life beyond this world. It's got to be more than what this world has to offer. Holy macaroni. And there is. And there is. The Lord will add to the church those who confess that Jesus' story was for them. And they say, thank you. And they follow Jesus. And they have to learn what that's like, but that's what we all have to learn. That's why our kids are back there in Hope Kids today. That's why we want you to come every Sunday to church so that not only can we worship together, but we can help disciple our kids and our grandkids in the story that we have right here. Because they don't know the story if they don't learn the story and get told the story and see it acted out, which is always fun. In front of them, they need to know it. We need you to teach it. We need you to tell it. My question to you, will you tell it as it has been told? Will you believe it as it has been given? And will you follow the Jesus of this story, though it cost you everything? Will you? Will you be faithful to live and to share the message of Jesus? Amen. Music, please come. Would you guys stand? I know probably for many of us, this is a message that you have heard before. Just gets told in different ways, right? But still the same message, the same story we're trying to tell. So my prayer for us today, I want to pray with my eyes open. I'm going to look at you. Woo! God, help us know and share with passion the story of Jesus, that God loves us. We are sinners who need forgiveness by grace, that Jesus is enough through the cross and through the empty tomb, that by his resurrection we have new life.
Hallelujah.
And we have hope that the